be 80 feet long and its white mainsail hanging slack. Anya recognized the wooden boxes being loaded onto it. There must be dozens of the boxes.
Neville? No freaking way. I thought Slater was gonna...
Anya hustled along the railing toward the end of the docks. Where was MI6? They were not going to let Neville sail away.
Anya Creed!
She swung about. A familiar man in sunglasses and wearing a wry smile sat in a black sedan parked within surveillance range of Neville's operation. She approached the driver's side.
Slater, what's going on? Aren't you going to...
Shh! Well, you'd be on a flight to the States by now.
Eric won't be discharged until tomorrow. I thought you'd have Neville in cuffs.
And I thought you were going to leave this to the proper authorities.
Yeah, but I don't see any proper ones taking action.
Anya, you seem to have forgotten I'm a dead man.
You're a...
And so are you. So I'd keep out of the yacht's line of vision if I were you. Don't want to spook them with a ghost.
Anya leaned against the car door, crossing her arms and slinking down so her hip nudged the door handle.
So you're going to let the man transport the weapons? Is there a ship waiting out of the harbor somewhere?
Yep.
But after he murdered Beth and Wesley, and tried to kill you and me...
Succeeded, Anya. Neville believes both of us are lying at the bottom of the Bandon River. So speak more softly, will you?
And yet you're sitting here, still keeping an eye on him.
My replacement's on the way. I never leave a job until I'm sure it's been covered. I suspect an agent has already insinuated himself into the loading crew.
But he's not here to make an arrest. So MI6 lets the murderer go.
Arm sales promote peace, Anya. Think about it.
I'd rather not.
It's the truth, as ridiculous as it sounds. Sometimes you have to join the fray to learn the enemy's secrets. It's not a perfect system, but it does work. Just be thankful you're alive. You're one tough woman. Never think about working for your government.
Never. I couldn't live with the moral ambiguity.
Ah, you'll stick with sensational television then. Nice knowing you, Creed. Walk east, away from me. If I see you go near that boat...
Don't worry. I'm heading to the forest to stir up some fairies. Gotta bring something home to the boss man.
Good luck with that. Don't worry. Pierce's family has been notified he was killed during a tragic cave-in offshore of the Clonakilty Bay, scavenging for buried treasure. His body has already been prepared for the flight home. His family took it well. They knew their son was an adventurer.
You called them?
No, we've got people to make calls like that. People with compassion.
Thanks. Hey, I have something for you.
For me? A gift? You shouldn't have.
The cigars.
I love a good smoke. Where is it?
No, the cigars. A box of Monte Cristo's. It was a gift to Daniel from Eric's father, Marvin Kritz. And Daniel is big on bartering with less than savory sorts. I wonder...
Anya took out Daniel's business card and handed it to him.
I think he may be your forger.
What proof do you have?
Nothing. Beyond the fact that the quiet man is always the most suspicious. He's got ink stains on his hands, and I can't imagine he spends a lot of time composing love letters. And I've learned that Eric Kritz's father is a notary public. He's a friend of Daniel's. He sent a gift with Eric to give to Daniel. Looked like a box of cigars. I wonder if MI6 wouldn't like to take a look at those smokes?
I bet they would. You figured this all out on your own.
Hey, sometimes I'm good.
You're always good, Creed. Don't know why I didn't suspect him in the weeks I was on the dig. But it makes sense. Neville did have dinner at Collins's mother's one night, which was the catalyst to our misadventures digging in the dirt. I wonder about that old lady.
I think she's harmless.
She'll be checked out thoroughly. I'll rally a couple of agents and send them over to Collins's house right now. Thanks, Anya.
No problem.
Hey, Anya, I'm never in one place for very long, but if you're ever in London, Albany Road, won't you look me up?
I may do that. Good luck, Slater.
Daniel Collins opened the door to two men who wore lackluster black business suits. They flashed badges that he had no time to read, but he guessed they were from some idiot government department and had seen one too many slick spy movies.
Gentlemen.
Daniel stepped aside so they could enter his house, and they did, their eyes taking in everything.
What can I do for you today? A bit sunny for the dour close. You lose your direction on the way to tip back a parting glass.
We've got a warrant to search your home, Mr. Collins.
Aye. What would that be for?
Here's the warrant. You can read it while we take a look around. Do you mind?
Daniel snatched the folded document. He tucked it in his front shirt pocket and stepped aside.
Don't mind at all. Fancy a cigar while you're snooping about.
The nurse was going over Eric's discharge papers with him, so Anya left them in the room and found a table near a window in the hospital visitor's lounge. It was nearing supper, and the day promised a few good hours of sunlight still. Eric was eager to go out and film a final segment for the show. They would only be able to allude to the existence of fairies in County Cork, Ireland, but Anya knew belief tended to be strong without actual evidence. With little proof of the winged creatures they had come to pursue, Anya still knew how to make the show work. Plus, Eric had filmed a couple of interviews with locals in the Ballybeg pub and had gotten some great sound bites.
Long time no talk, Anya.
Are you visiting someone here, or do you just like to follow me?
Actually, I did get a chance to visit with an old friend. I picked up a couple of bottles of Lafitte, pre-phylloxera, the grail of Lafitte's, for a party I'm hosting this weekend. Want to come along for a night or two? It's in Berlin, on the River Spree. I think you'd like my apartment there. I just had it redecorated by some hot young designer in Louis XV style.
Rococo. Groovy. Would your wine dealer happen to be Daniel Collins?
None other.
And he was actually home?
Of course. Why do you suspect he'd not be in residence?
I just...
You can't expect that I would allow a friend, a good source of Lafitte, to be detained by the authorities, can you?
You stopped the arrest.
I would never dream of obstructing justice, and I had no idea an actual arrest was intended. But I may have suggested that Collins take inventory of any stock he might have and that he should relocate it while he did so.
Oh, you are too rich.
I am, as a matter of fact.
I meant it facetiously. How could you do that?
Anya, do you really want an explanation? I like to remain an enigma to you. It keeps the mystery and makes for a fascinating relationship.
We do not have a relationship.
Anya, you wound me. Here I thought we were family.
Family? We are the farthest...
There are many definitions of the term. One mustn't be related by blood to feel a familial connection to another. So, how did the fairy hunt go?
Fairies don't exist, Garin. Or did I just spoil a childhood belief of yours? Did your mommy read you fairy tales when you were little?
We didn't have books, Anya. None that my family could afford. And our fairy tales in the 15th century were more about dragons and virgin princesses. Why is it so difficult for you to believe in fairies? Why can't you allow a little whimsy into your life?
Who are you?
If you're not keen on the designation of family, then I'll have to go with friend.
Try enemy.
Ally.
Nemesis.
Harsh, but not always unwarranted. So, what plans have you got for your next adventure? Sea monster fishing off the coast of Wales? Chupacabra in Mexico?
We did the chupacabra last season.
Nice. So, what's the verdict? Will you come to the party?
I don't know. I don't think I can swing it. I have to see Eric back to New York.
He's a big boy. I'm sure he can handle the flight by himself. Might even meet a sexy young college student desperate for conversation.
I didn't pack for a party.
You forget, I know your dress size as well as your...
All right. One day in Berlin, partying like a rock star.
I have some great wine for the occasion. Come on. We'll put the kid on a plane, then we'll fly in my private jet to Germany.
We've got some filming to do before the flight leaves at midnight.
Fine. I'll hold the jet while you two poke about in the woods. Deal? I do love spending time with you, Anya.
The bog glittered under the setting sun. For the first time since Anya had set foot on Irish soil, she could fully buy into the idea of mystical or magical beings. Already the stars twinkled faintly. The moon promised to be full in less than a week. This evening, the air was so still, not even a cricket chirped. She approached Eric slowly, speaking as he recorded the final segment for the show.
As the wind moves through your hair and the rich, fragrant air invades your pores, the centuries past come alive. It's possible that mighty warriors with mystical powers once tracked this land. Ancient rituals, some still practiced today by believers, have firmly cemented the supernatural to this realm. So close your eyes and open your heart to the magic of the enchanted land of Era.
That's perfect, Anya. That's beautiful. I got your silhouette against the dark sky and the moon. We rapping?
Yes.
Anya twirled a finger as a signal to cut and stop filming.
I think we got what we need. How are you feeling?
Not so bad. The fresh air is incredible. I can finally breathe again.
We'd better head into Cork.
They drove toward Ballybeg, where they exchanged Mr. Riley's car for a taxi to Cork.
I seriously thought it was ferries that took me. Man, that was some crazy stuff. LSD? You know, I've never done drugs before, Anya. I feel kind of lousy about that.
Well, don't dwell on it, Eric. It wasn't your fault. And as the doctor explained, you will not become addicted. What are you going to tell your father?
The truth. But I don't want Doug or you to get into trouble.
Whatever your father has to say to us, we can handle. I should have kept a closer watch on you.
I'm a big boy. My father knows that too. I don't think he'll huff too loudly after I explain it was necessary to obtain the information for our story.
Anya wasn't sure what to say to Eric about the fact that his father could be involved in sending notary supplies to Daniel Collins. MI6 hadn't found proof because Garin had tipped Daniel off. It was something father and son could work out together. Family. It was never easy. Berlin. The reception hall was vast, and marble sparkled and gold accents glittered everywhere. Rue nodded to Garin as he entered. Garin wore a black tuxedo, the same as Rue. The old man had been examining his latest find, displayed on a wood stand, the concubine's jade.
Garin, this one must have set you back a pretty penny.
Pennies are worthless nowadays. That chunk of jade was all about the Ben Franklins.
16th century?
Rumored to possess untold powers of joy when the planets align just so and the moonlight flashes through the center of the stone.
As usual, joy remains elusive.
The old man accepted the tumbler of scotch Garin offered.
It is odd when we find ourselves consuming 100-year-old scotch, isn't it?
Only odd because we walked the world long before it was created.
Indeed. So, about those charges on my credit card. 500,000 to the Heifer Organization? A worthy cause, but really...
It'll provide livestock to those in need. I personally buy a few arcs of animals every year.
Yes, but the other 500,000? The Infinity Life Cryogenic Society?
Garin smiled. That had been Ruth Banyan's dying wish. She'd wanted to be preserved cryogenically, until such a time when she could be defrosted and, well, after that it was all a bunch of nonsense to Garin. Who was he to deny her? Before he could explain, Rue's attention was diverted behind him to the stairway. Anya stepped off the bottom step and glanced around. She smoothed her palms down the white silk gown she was wearing. It was fitted from shoulder to knee and clung to all her curves. Garin had left it in a guest room for her and allowed her to shower and relax a while. The maid had helped her to sweep her chestnut hair into a chignon and said it called attention to her brilliant hazel eyes. Taking compliments was never easy for Anya, but the change of clothing and location worked to release her inhibitions. She was in the mood for a party.
Anya!
Rue, I didn't know you'd be here. Where is everyone else?
The actual party doesn't begin for another hour. Rue and I want to share a drink with you first. Oh, that dress fits you perfectly.
You don't mind, do you, that we keep you to ourselves a bit?
Not at all. Where's the booze? I've got a nasty case of fairies I need to get over.
Did you find any?
I found belief. That seems to be more than enough for some folk. So what shall we toast to?
To you, Anya. Happy birthday.
My birthday?
Don't tell me you forgot. I marked it on my calendar. I know I have the right day.
Yes. No, I didn't... Well, yes, I did. I just never think about it all that much. Seriously? So this party is...
For you! We've got a gift for you.
I haven't been given a birthday gift for ages. What is it?
Garin stepped back and swept a hand before an easel standing beside a white marble hearth. Anya stepped over and tugged the black cloth away from the painting.
Oh, it's a... Well, the style looks a lot like Jean Fouquet. But no, it's not Fouquet. It can't be. I've never seen this painting before.
The painting was a subject that had become very much her own. It featured Joan of Arc tied to the stake with the flames at her feet and a disturbed crowd looking on. She turned to both men.
The colors are beautiful. My gosh, this is so... generous. Thank you. I love it. It'll add some much-needed color above the couch in my living room.
What makes you believe it's not by Fouquet? Take a good look.
Rue winked at Garin as Anya bent to closely examine the painting. She almost touched it, but then jerked her fingers away.
This is an original.
It is. It was listed at auction as in the style of Jean Fouquet.
But it is Fouquet.
The style is most definitely his, but... He didn't actually start painting until around 1445, so he couldn't have possibly witnessed this scene.
What makes you think the man wasn't sketching the events he witnessed as he journeyed toward becoming a painter?
Really? You think he actually witnessed Joan's burning? It's so sad to consider now. Wait a second.
Anya bent closer to inspect the face of one of the soldiers in the crowd. Utter horror stretched his face as he looked up at the flames that licked at Joan's feet.
Is that... It can't be.
Oh, yes, it could.
Rue stood beside the painting and assumed the tilted head pose of the man in the picture.
That's you! And the other guy is...
The soldier standing shoulder to shoulder with the horrified one looked away from it all, unwilling to witness the tragic event. She turned on Garin.
You?
It was not a good day.
This is absolutely incredible. That Fouquet sketched this and then later rendered it. But it's not in his gallery of work.
It was lost after a fire obliterated his workshop in Tours. We've been aware of its existence, but have never quite been able to put our hands to it until it showed up at auction recently.
We thought you'd like something from both of us. Deny it all you like, but we three are a sort of family, in a roundabout way.
This is amazing. It's perfect. Thank you.
Anya turned and hugged Garin, which surprised the hell out of him. But before he could settle into the warmth of her embrace, she pulled away and went to hug Rue.
Family? I can see that. In a roundabout way.
Families can never claim to be perfect all the time, or even nice to one another.
To family.
Rachel Collins stomped out the back door of her house to the scrubby plot where Forrest met the field. She spotted the gray rabbit immediately. It disregarded her. She was just the old lady who tended the garden and made it full of carrots and cabbage every summer. Lifting the spear of Lou over her head, Rachel thrust it forward. She wasn't strong, but the spear left her grip with an unnatural speed and found a sure path. Upon impact, the rabbit flipped into the air, its hind legs twitching and flailing. The spear cut through its gut and moved clean out the other side. Holding her arm out straight, fingers curled to catch, Rachel caught the spear as it returned.
Oof.
handy piece of work, this old spear.
Rachel trudged toward the rabbit, but a glint on the ground caught her eye. She bent and nabbed the small, cold nugget.
Oh, what's this? Looks like gold.
Rogue Angel, The Other Crowd is a graphic audio production. Rogue Angel trademark owned by Harlequin Enterprises Limited, used by others under license. Copyright 2011, Worldwide Library. Production copyright 2012, The Cutting Corporation, all rights reserved. Performed by Colleen Delaney, Tim Getman, Alexander Strain, Michael John Casey, Terrence Aselford, Nick DePinto, Jeff Baker, Richard Rowan, Danny Gavigan, James Lewis, Dylan Lynch, David Coyne, Corey James, Casey Platt, Elizabeth Jernigan, Alyssa Wilmoth, and Ken Jackson. Directed by Ken Jackson. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornette. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Temeskin Wobna and Allison Thomas. The Rogue Angel theme was composed by Chris Rowan. Book adapted for graphic audio by Doug Krenzlin. If you enjoyed Rogue Angel, be sure to look for Lilith St. Crow's Dante Valentine series and Elizabeth Moon's Vada's War series, available at Road Stops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net.
Available now in graphic audio.
Trouble?
Yes. From someone I owe a whole lot to. Seems he's in trouble and is wondering if I might be able to help him out.
What kind of trouble?
He doesn't say. But since he's asking for my help, I suspect it's the kind of trouble that comes out of the end of a gun.
When Smoke receives an unexpected telegram from an old acquaintance, he will ride into the battle of his life.
You're going to conduct some more military operations against Captain King's Ranch. I will expect you to begin a campaign of harassment and interdiction. You will find cowboys working in your area, and you will kill them.
But the one thing Major Jack Brandt didn't count on was the vengeful hand of Smoke Jensen.
How do you fight against such evil? When someone wishes to spread terror, there is nothing you can do to stop them.
Sure there is. We can give terror right back at them. They're killing our people. We will kill theirs.
In this one, lots of bad men die. Don't miss the gruesome bloodshed in The Mountain Man number 33, Destiny of the Mountain Man. Available now. In graphic audio. Available now in graphic audio. The war between Dante Valentine and the devil has been building.
Hey, Blondie, you two-faced lying sack of demon shit. You've got business with me first.
Indeed, I do!
Now, all will be settled in one epic final confrontation.
Here I stand, Lucifer. And not all the hosts of hell shall move me.
Not all the hosts of hell are necessary, Necromans.
Just one.
Dante Valentine number 5, To Hell and Back. The thrilling conclusion to the Dante Valentine series.
There is more than one way to break a human.
Thank you.
If you can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD format or digital download. If you're on the road, call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220. Or www.graphicaudio.net. And if you're looking for a great way to try out a different graphic audio series, check out our convenient and easy-to-store long-haul box sets, which contain up to 5 books of a series. Available only at www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Twitter.